All right, open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We've been looking at different parables in the Bible. And of course, we know that Jesus started talking in parables because the Jews would not receive him as king. And they would not listen to what he was saying. And then he started speaking in parables to them. And we've been looking at a few parables. We looked at the parable of the pearl last week. Learned a lot of things about that. And you know, the good thing about these parables, if you will compare scripture with scripture and find out what each thing in the parable is referring to, then you get a real blessing out of it. Plus the fact, if you'll remember, that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are two different things. Remember, kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth physically for 1,000 years. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that every believer enters into the moment they're saved. That's reading it says, the kingdom of God is within you, is what the Bible says. And you say, how is that possible? Well, because Jesus Christ, the King, is within you, and you are in him, and you're seated in heavenly places right now spiritually. And that's the reason why we enter into the kingdom of God. And so if you keep those things separate there and you understand those things, then boy, when you see the these parables and you see, okay, and they'll say the kingdom of heaven is like, and then it tells you, and then you go over to another gospel and it says the kingdom of God is like, and it's slightly different. And you understand the difference now, and you're able to see those things. So in Luke chapter 15, look if you would, at the parable we're going to look at this morning, and it says, starting in verse 4, it says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, Luke 15 here, this parable is called the parable. In fact, the entire chapter of Luke, you'll notice the 15th chapter of Luke is full of lost things. Lost things. In fact, a lot of people, they call this the chapter of God's lost and found. Okay, and in these, when you read the 32 verses, Jesus uses no less than 4 parables, and he deals with the lost, he deals with those who are saved but have gotten away from the Lord, or out of fellowship, he deals with those folks, and you know, and like I said, the Lord didn't always use parables. There was a time when the Lord would teach people in Israel without using parables, but the more that Jesus Christ was rejected, the more Jesus began to withdraw from the people of Israel, and speaking in parables was one of the ways that he began to withdraw from them. In fact, I showed you at the very beginning when we first started talking about parables that each time that the Lord withdrew from Israel, he would always quote Isaiah chapter 6, talking about, you know, you're dull in hearing, and you're hearing, but you hear, but you can't understand, you can't perceive. And he quoted that. First time he quoted it was when he started speaking in parables. The second time it was quoted was when Jesus Christ went to the cross. And then the third time it was quoted was in Acts 28:28, where Paul quotes it, and then he says, now the gospel is sent to the Gentiles. And so that's the 3 times that the Lord started working with Israel less and less. But the first step was for the Lord to speak in parables. And so when you look at Luke chapter 15 here, you'll see that verses 3 through 7 record the illustration of the lost sheep. Verses 8 through 10 shows the parable of the lost silver. Verses 11 through 24 shows the parable of the lost son. Verses 25 through 32 show the parable of the lost sibling. And so you have these things showing up here in this chapter. Now, in verses 1 through 3, we find Jesus reaching out to the lost by telling them these parables. And we're told that the publicans and sinners came to hear him preach. These publicans worked for the Roman government and were despised by the Jews because they were friendly with the enemy, and they placed people in harsh and unfair tax burdens. And so now you have those, what we call publicans. This time of year, we think a lot about publicans. Amen? Because it's tax time, okay? I wouldn't recommend calling them publicans, though, okay? But then you also have sinners here, on the other hand, referring to those Jews who did not keep the Mosaic law, or they broke the law, and because of they were looked down upon by the Pharisees and other religious people. And it was these poor people that no one cared about that Jesus reached out to. And you'll see that Jesus does that a lot in Scripture. In fact, Jesus in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it says that they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then you'll notice who Jesus hung around with. He hung around those people who weren't afraid to admit that they were sinners. Now, the people that were always trying to get Jesus were those Pharisees who thought that they were clean, who were hypocrites, who considered themselves really spiritual people. And you know, even today you have people that won't admit that they're guilty in sin, that think that they, you know, are really spiritual people. But listen, folks, we're all sinners, all of us. And none of us deserve what the Lord has given us. None of us deserve salvation. And, you know, and just when you think that you're really something, I guarantee you can look at somebody else and say, well, I'm better than that person. But compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just, you know, our righteousness is as filthy rags, all of us. And so, but Jesus, he hung around those people that weren't afraid to admit that they were sinners, that they knew that they were sinners. And so he hung around those people. Now in Luke chapter 15, notice it says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The very people the religious world should have been reaching out to were the very ones that they shunned, but Jesus reached out to those folks. And Jesus, knowing the hard hearts of the religious people, told them the parables that make up the verses in this chapter. Now, in this chapter, Jesus uses these four parables to teach the value of every lost soul. Doctrinally speaking, that's what he's showing, is the value of a lost soul. And he even uses this parable to teach them that they themselves might not be as secure as they thought that they were. Okay? Now, I'd like to look at these parables. We'll start with this one today, and then we'll continue on the book of Luke in the coming weeks. And I want us to look at these things that the parables say that were lost, but then were found, okay? And so we begin here by looking at the parable where it talks about the shepherd and his sheep. Now, the shepherd here is counting the sheep inside this parable, and he expects to find 100 in the flock, okay? But he's dismayed to discover that one in the flock is missing. So motivated by the danger that sheep would be in, I mean, let's face it, the sheep wanders off from the shepherd and wanders off from the rest of the sheep and is out by itself, that sheep would be in great danger. You know, one of the things when I was young, one of my favorite shows was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. How many of you remember that? And I just showed my age there, okay? But I remember we used to watch that, and one of the things I never forgot was, you know, the lion or the cheetah, they would all sit back and they wouldn't attack the herd. What they'd do is they'd wait till one of those herd kind of backed off from the rest of the crowd, and they'd go after that one because he wasn't protected with everybody else. And that's the same way the devil. Remember, Peter says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. And so what he's doing, he's trying to pick people off. And so all of a sudden the sheep wanders away from the shepherd, he wanders away from the fold, and so the shepherd here knows just the danger that this sheep is facing away from him in the fold. And so this is really an account of searching and saving and then shouting. And we can see a clear picture here of the love and labor of the Lord Jesus Christ for the lost. Now doctrinally, when we read this parable, we know that the shepherd in this parable is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? You say, how do we know that? Well, again, whenever we're trying to figure out exactly who or what each part of the parable represents, then you've got to compare scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And when you start looking through it throughout the Bible, you'll find out real quick that when it talks about a shepherd of the sheep, it is always Jesus Christ whenever there's a parable given or whenever Jesus is talking about it. For example, in Psalm 23:1, everybody knows Psalm 23:1. And you know, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Okay. Also in John 10:2, it says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And then it says in John 10:7, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So he's saying, I'm the shepherd. In John 10:14, Jesus himself says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." So he is the shepherd. There's no doubt about that. And we know that doctrine of this parable, when it talks about the sheep, is talking about Israel. Okay? It's talking about Israel. You say, how do you know that? The New Testament had not started yet when he gave this parable. Amen? Who was the Lord working with when he gave this parable? Israel was. Israel was the one he was working with. And so this is talking about Israel. And if you'll remember, Jesus said in Matthew 15:24, he said this. He says, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, what does that mean? You say, well, I thought he was sent to save sinners. I thought he was sent to save the entire world. How many of you understand that God knows everything? Amen? Listen, when Jesus Christ first came to this earth, when God first came to this earth in the form of a baby and he grew up, he already knew that he would be rejected by the Jews. But yet he still made a legitimate offer. He said, "Listen, I'm here to be your king." He already knew what they were going to do, but he still made that offer. So he was sent to the house of Israel, because if they had received him as king, he would have set up his kingdom. No doubt about that. But he knew they wouldn't. So he was prepared to die for the sins of the whole world. And that's exactly what he did. Okay? And so when he came here, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we can make practical application to us today through this parable, even though doctrinally it applies to Israel. And I say that we can make a doctrinal application or practical application to us today, because Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 16. He said, "And other sheep I have." In other words, he has the sheep of the house of Israel. He says this, he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, what he was saying right there was, he's saying, listen, I was sent to the house of Israel, to the sheep of the house of Israel, but there's this other fold over here that's not of the house of Israel. And when I bring them with me, the two are going to come together and be one fold under one shepherd. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. So therefore, when he gave that prophecy there, he was saying, listen, yes, I was sent to the house of Israel, but they're going to reject me. So this other fold over here, they're not going to reject me. And so those over here that didn't reject me and these over here that didn't reject me, together they'll come. And you know what that means? That means today, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? And so that's what he's talking about there. And so this verse, even though it's doctrinally applied to the house of Israel, certainly in our parable, practically speaking, you could say it applies to people today as well. Okay? Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus said, "There shall be one fold and one shepherd," Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28 says this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." And so that matches what Jesus said there. So when the Lord speaks in this parable here about the shepherd and the sheep, when he's talking about that, doctrinally it is aimed at Israel, but because the Gentiles have become part of the fold, there's much to learn about this parable that we don't want to miss today, okay? Because there's a picture of salvation here in these verses. And there's a picture of necessity to stay close to the shepherd in these verses. How many of you know that just because you get saved, you still need to stay close to the shepherd? Amen? Because if you don't, the devil's still a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I guarantee you, everybody in this room knows of some Christian that wandered away. Now, he didn't lose his salvation, but he wandered away. And where's he at now? He's in danger. Amen? But the Lord wants those that are not right with him to come back to the fold as well. So there's a lot to learn here today. So the first thing I want you to see in this parable is the shepherd's compassion for the lost sheep. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 15, look, if you would, at verse 4. It says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now, this little, like I said, this little sheep, this sheep was in great danger. It was headed for ruin. It was headed for destruction. And the shepherd knew this, and the shepherd was concerned about the sheep. And he was moved to do something to save that lost sheep. By the way, you know, this sheep was lost because it wandered away. The shepherd did not wander away. Now, you got to understand that, folks. You realize it's been like that ever since the beginning. It was Adam. Listen, God didn't walk away from Adam. Adam got away from God. Hey, who was it was hiding in the bushes when the voice of God came walking through the wilderness? It was Adam was the one hiding. Adam was the one who got away. And every time that you have ever gotten away from the Lord, it was you who made the choice to do it. You were the one who made the choice. And so, you know, when Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners, when he went after the lost sheep, he knew the lost condition of humanity. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Every one of us, before we were saved, we were away. We were without hope. We were in danger. We were away from the Lord. And so we were all gone astray, all of us. And he knows the lost condition of unsaved people. And he also knows that a lost person remains unsaved because he chooses to. Now, I'll say that again. A lost person remains unsaved today because he chooses to. God is not going to make anybody get saved. He'll go out there and try to bring that sheep back in. That sheep don't want to come back in. Guess what? Then the sheep will stay out there. But the Lord will keep on trying. Listen, if you're not saved here this morning, the Lord is still trying to get you saved. That's the reason he reproves this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment with the Holy Spirit of God. He wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And so the Lord knows that a sheep today has wandered away, and the sheep is in danger, and he wants to save that sheep. But not only does the Lord, our shepherd, know the condition of the loss, he is moved to do something about that lost condition. The sheep may have wandered away from the shepherd and gone astray, but that sheep is still precious to him. There's still value to that sheep, and the shepherd wanted it returned to the flock, and he cared about that little lost sheep. And may I say this morning that the good shepherd loves the lost sheep of this world also. He still loves the lost sheep of this world. He spoke of this love in John 3:16, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He loves the lost sheep. Okay, there are some Christians today, and it just irritates me when I hear it, but I hear some Christians say, "Well, you know, the Bible never says anywhere that God actually, you know, loves the sinner and hates the sin." Well, I do actually read that in the Bible, because he did say here, "For God so loved the world." And it does say that, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't tell me the Lord didn't love me before I got saved, but he wasn't going to save me without me making the choice to. Amen? I mean, you got to love somebody quite a bit to send your son to die for them. And so, if you ever doubt the love that God has for you, you don't need to look any further than Calvary. You don't need to look any further than Calvary. Think about this. Just one sheep is missing, yet the shepherd still went. Another shepherd might have counted the personal cost and decided to let the sheep go and let it be lost forever. But this shepherd saw the value of just one sheep, and he went after it because of his compassion for that sheep. But I also want you to notice here the not only the compassion that the shepherd had for the sheep, but I want you to notice the shepherd's commitment as well. Look at verse 5. It says, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." This shepherd, he knew the search was dangerous and death was an absolute certainty. But Jesus said in John 10:11, he said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So the shepherd did not stop until his mission was completed and the sheep had been found. He didn't look for just for a day and say, well, I tried. No, he completed the mission, folks. He went to go find that lost sheep, and he did what it took to save that lost sheep. He didn't stop the quest and just short of the cross. No, when he was on the cross, you know what he said? It is finished. In other words, he completed the mission of finding that lost sheep. And it may appear to us that God is failing in this world today, but Jesus will not be disappointed by the harvest that he reaps. When we arrive home in glory, we'll learn that the Good Shepherd perfectly fulfilled exactly what he was supposed to do. He perfectly fulfilled his mission. And all those that he saved by his blood will make it home in heaven. Everyone will. Everyone that has been saved in this age will make it home. Okay? Now turn, if you will, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And to show you just the commitment that Jesus Christ had, the shepherd. He was committed to finding that lost sheep. He was committed to completing the mission of getting that lost sheep and getting it back to the fold. He never stopped until that sheep was back in the fold. Now in John chapter 6, look if you would at verse 37. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Boy, you need to underline that. You know what that means? That means if you have come to Jesus Christ and you've called on him for salvation, he saved you, and he will never cast you out. Never. That's just one of the many places in the Bible that talks about eternal security. Many, many places. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In other words, he was on a mission. And this is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. That's another verse that teaches eternal security there, by the way. If you're saved today, listen, he says that he's going to get you home. You're going to come up out of that grave one of these days. If you think about that the shepherd goes out there and he grabs that sheep and he takes it all the way back to the fold. Takes him home. Okay? Look at verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Lord is absolutely committed to getting all of his flock to safety. Absolutely committed to do that. Therefore, all believers will be in heaven one day with him. All believers. So when it comes to the lost sheep, we've seen the compassion of the shepherd. We've seen the commitment of the shepherd. But I also want to show you in verses 6 and 7, the surety of the shepherd. Look if you would at verse 6 back in our text, Luke chapter 15, verse 6. It says, and when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Notice the sheep here has been found and is rescued from danger and the danger it had been in, and it is now home with a shepherd. The shepherd came home with that sheep. And when he got home, he goes, look, I got my sheep home. The sheep that was lost, I found it. And it's here. It's here back home where it needs to be. And so that's what this great shepherd does for all of his sheep. In Christ, it's in Christ who delivers them from the danger and the damage of their sins. And notice this sheep is not responsible for getting itself home. It's the shepherd who's responsible to get the sheep home. That sheep cannot find home at all on its own. It can never make it back to the fold by itself. That's the reason whenever you see lost people today saying, well, I think I'm a pretty good person and, I really haven't done anything really bad. I haven't broken too many commandments and I'm a pretty good mom. I'm a pretty good dad. You know what that is? That's a sheep out here away from the fold trying to find its way home and it has no idea how to get there. So when it says, basically what that sheep is saying is this, I'll find my own way home. He ain't ever going to find his way home. He has to have the shepherd. And that shepherd has to be, because that shepherd has to love him, which Jesus Christ does. That shepherd has to be committed to getting him home, which Jesus Christ is. And that shepherd goes out there and he grabs all that sheep and he starts walking. But listen, that sheep doesn't want to go. It isn't like the shepherd's going to hook him up and drag him. Although I will say there are some Christians that the Lord's probably going to be dragging home by the ear. Okay, but I'm talking about a lost person. The Lord, listen, that sheep wants to stay out there and keep on looking to try to find his own way back. And the shepherd's calling. I don't know how you call a sheep. Anybody know how to call a sheep? You know, can't believe I just did that online. But anyway, I don't know how you do that. But if he's calling for that sheep, and he's calling, and he's calling, and the sheep sees him, and just turns around and says, no, I'll find my own way home. You know what's going to happen? That sheep is going to die. That sheep don't stand a chance. But if he hears that call, and he turns to the shepherd, he starts walking towards the shepherd, and there's the shepherd who grabs a hold of him, and they just walk on back. And that shepherd takes him all the way home. That sheep couldn't get home by itself. It had to be the shepherd to do it. And that shows you right there just the surety of the shepherd. Aren't you thankful that the Lord's sheep are not responsible to get themselves home? That they're more, you know, that they're not responsible for keeping we're not responsible for keeping ourselves saved. You know, the Lord's sheep are saved by grace, and it's grace that sees them home. None of the Lord's sheep need to ever fear being left behind. If you're saved here today and you are the Lord's sheep, you never have to fear about being left behind. You never have to fear about not making it to heaven. That shepherd is going to get you to heaven, folks. He's going to get you to heaven. The shepherd was able to lift the sheep and bury it upon his shoulders. Now, see, that's important too. That sheep couldn't even walk home. He threw it upon his shoulders and said, listen, the only way you're going to get home is by my power and my strength, not on your own. And he puts him on his shoulders and starts walking back. You know, the Lord did start this mission, and he never stopped. He never stopped. He went after the sheep for the express purpose of bringing that sheep home. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save. It's the shepherd that seeks the lost sheep. And if that sheep ever gets saved, it's the shepherd that saves it. Once you're saved, you never have to worry about being lost again. You are sure to make it home. Now, our strength will wane along the way, and we will fail many times, but the Lord's strength never wavers. And as Christians, our arrival in heaven has never and will never depend upon you or me, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice one more thing about this parable. And I want you to notice the rejoicing of the shepherd. The rejoicing of the shepherd. Leave me with it, verse 6. It says, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The shepherd was able to rejoice with his friends and neighbors because the lost sheep was found. He was overjoyed with the fact that he had rescued this one lost sheep. And Jesus makes it clear that all of heaven gets excited about the salvation of just one lost soul. All of heaven gets excited. There in verse 7 it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, it says here that heaven rejoices when just one person gets saved. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. The sad thing is that there are a lot of Christians today that could care less. Now, you say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Listen, I've been in church services where they said, you know, we went out door knocking, you know, this past year, and we got to lead one to Christ. And people are saying, only one? What's the point? No, wait a second. That one lost soul, it means everything. Everything. Actually, we know when we went out, we handed out those 3,000 tracts this year during the Christmas parade. You know what I was praying? I say, Lord, I pray that people get saved, but even just one, Just one, because that's a soul, folks. That's never, that person gets saved, he's never ever going to be in hell. He's going to be in heaven with you and me. Amen? I mean, he's saved. We should rejoice over that. We shouldn't say, well, only one? What's the point of even going out there? Well, for one. Hey, listen, I want to see everybody saved, and I don't like to see all Great Falls get saved. But listen, if I go out there and I witness to all Great Falls, even if one person gets saved, it was worth it all. And we got to get to where we're rejoicing over that lost soul the same as heaven is. I'll tell you this, folks, I am so the fact that when we get to heaven, those people that are sourpusses today, I don't know what in the world they're going to do when they get there. Because it's going to be a wonderful place to be. There's going to be shouting and singing and rejoicing. But you know what? Some people will say, well, you know, this is heaven by expecting more. That's the way some Christians are going to be. But we ought not be that way. Hey, I'll tell you this. Do you realize when the Lord went to that cross, if only one person in the entire world in the last 2,000 years would have gotten saved, it would have been worth it for him to go to the cross. That's how much the Lord cares about it. That's how much he cares. He's not willing that any should perish, not even one. We need to get excited about people getting saved. And I'll tell you this, if you've never seen somebody get saved when you're witness to them, that's an experience you really need to go through. Because I'll tell you this, you ever lead somebody to the Lord, you'll see the importance of one soul. I guarantee it. And if you're still a sourpuss after that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Amen. Because I'll tell you this, every time that I lead somebody to the Lord, honestly, I don't know whether to sit there and start laughing or start crying. So I'm kind of in between. I'm like, and then my bottom lip starts quivering. You know? Why? Because it's just overwhelming to think of a soul being saved. Amen. It's just overwhelming. And so our shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ sought me out and called me. And I'll tell you this, I'm thankful that he's going to get me home. Even though I may mess up, even though I may get stubborn, he's going to get me home. Because once you're on his shoulders, you ain't getting back off. Amen? How many of you are thankful for that this morning? That is the parable of the lost sheep.